Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. Raised with Jesus is a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond, and today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the entire family in heaven and on earth receives its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then, being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you would be able to comprehend, along with the saints, how wide and long and high and deep his love is, and that you would be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able, according to the power that is at work within us, him who is able to do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And Paul writes this conclusion that he had spoken about previously. And the end of this chapter really concludes part one and really divides up very nicely the first half of the book of Ephesians, talking about what Christ has done for each of us individually and personally, both the election in Christ from eternity, the being brought from being a dead, blind enemy of God under God's wrath and object of wrath by nature, and being brought to the grace and mercy, through the grace and mercy of our God, to be a child of God and a member of Christ and an heir and a member of the household of faith. And that's the mystery that he had talked about previously in this chapter, and that he had begun back in verse 1, when he had said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and then he, you know, had that interlude where he talked about it, the Anacaluthan, in this chapter, and then he picks up exactly where he left off in verse 1 with verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the entire family in heaven and on earth receives its name." And what he's really doing is he's making an application from the previous chapter, where he had ended chapter 2 by talking about the unity in the body of Christ, that the Gentiles and the Jews are now members of one body, and the dividing wall of hostility has been destroyed, both the hostility between us and God, because Jesus has fulfilled the law and paid the requirements of breaking the law in our place, and also because of that fact, we have been made members of the one same body. So there is now no division between Jew and Greek, Gentile and non-Gentile, right? And the image that he had used at the end of chapter 2 was that image of that, you know, three and a half foot tall wall in the temple that divided the court of the Gentiles from the court of the Jews and the area that the Jews could go. And that wall had openings in it through which you could, you know, the Jewish people could walk to the specific courts that they were allowed to visit. And then the sign at each of those entrances said, you know, if anybody goes past this point, then your blood will be on your own head. You are subject to being pelted with stones until dead. And that's what really leads Paul to just marvel at God's grace. He says, "I kneel before the God, before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray to him that you would be strengthened, and all this to the glory of God." Verse 16, the content of his prayer, verses 16 and 17. "I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, first, that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner self. And then secondly, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The first part, being strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner self, really talking about the life of faith. Really talking about that inner struggle that every Christian will have, that Paul talks about very in-depth in Romans chapter 7. That's Romans chapter 7. You can look it up on your own time, where he talks about the good that I want to do, I do not do. What I do not want to do, I keep on doing. That is the inner struggle of every Christian. That's the struggle of faith versus the sinful flesh, the old Adam, as we call him, or the sinful nature is the other term that we often use. And that struggle is going to go on as long as there's life, right? As long as your faith is alive, you will always, always be locked in this hand-to-hand combat against your own sinful flesh, your own sinful inclinations, and the only way that 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 battle comes to an end is through death. Either option A, you die, and Jesus takes your soul to heaven, and then in the resurrection of the dead at the end of time, your resurrected body will be restored in a full and perfect way without the sinful flesh attached to it, right? Or the other option is your faith dies. You realize that if your faith dies, it might make life a lot simpler. It might make life a lot simpler because there is no internal struggle anymore. Because then the devil has his way. The sinful flesh can wreak its havoc. And the Christian or the former Christian, the person now, feels like he or she doesn't really have to struggle anymore. And that's a major concern, obviously, because that doesn't end up good for a good thing for eternity, because it might ease the struggle during life in this world, but it will make for an eternity in hell apart from Christ. And so as Christians, how do we address that? We address that with the Word of God. We address it in a straightforward way and strongly and with encouragement that we teach and we speak based on the Word of God. We don't just talk about the law or talk about the gospel. We replace all the pronouns with you, because this is the case, you know. You have cut yourself off from Christ, but at the same time, it is also the case that you and your sin has been paid for by Christ. And so we plead with you, return, repent and return to our Lord and take up the struggle again. And so Paul, when he's praying here, he's sitting here in prison and he's praying that they would continue the struggle. He prays because he knows that God, with the glory of all of his riches and all of his power and all of his wealth, he prays that God would strengthen them in their inner being through the Holy Spirit, which is to say, through that gospel message, the Holy Spirit would continue to strengthen their faith for the battle, for the daily battle, because he doesn't want anyone to fall prey to sin and temptation and be lost. And the result of that, second half of verse 17, then being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you would be able to comprehend, along with all the saints, how wide and long and high and deep his love is, and so that you may be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. When we talk about the love of God, the Bible defines it very clearly. We cannot talk about love without an understanding of how the Bible talks about love. And any attempts to talk about love apart from the love described in the Bible and the God of the Bible is going to be an empty and vain attempt that will only lead to selfishness and a selfish desire and an ersatz, an imitation, a very cheap and not very satisfying imitation of love. But the love that we have here is that God in his word has revealed his truth. And this truth is for your good and mine. And this truth is that yes, for a time you will have to take up the sword and take up the battle against your own sinful flesh. And for a time, it may seem like, you know, ending up where Paul ends up in Romans chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? I just keep doing what I don't want to do and not doing what I do want to do. The battle seems terrifying, and it seems ridiculous, and it seems frustrating. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we have the barest glimpse at the width and height and all the dimensions of God's love for us, and that the love of Christ, which goes beyond all knowledge and all understanding, is more than sufficient for our failings. And the love of Christ calls us back to this battle and encourages us and says, dear friend, keep it up. Keep it up. Because this God is able to make you stand and succeed so that on that day, when you finally stand before Christ in all of his glory, whether that's, you know, sometime before the end of the world or if you are alive when Christ returns, you will be able to say, yes, not I, but Christ through me. Yes, not I, but you, Jesus, you strengthened me and restored me and helped me and kept me true to yourself in this battle where, apart from your grace, I would have lost completely and utterly. But you have done your work. And now I have been filled with the fullness of God, and I know that your love has met its goal of bringing me to heaven. And with all of that contemplation in mind, is it any wonder that in verses 20 and 21, Paul just breaks out into song? This is a doxology, as we call it, similar to what we have at the end of Romans chapter 11, a doxology where he breaks out in this brief song of praise. Now, to him who is able, according to the power that is at work within us, to do infinitely more than we ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God accomplishes his work, even when from our perspective it seems impossible. You can find us Wednesday evening at 2250 South Helens Savannah Road, Maumee, 7 p.m. worship. Also 9 a.m. 2250 South Helens Savannah Road, Maumee. You can also check out the show notes and check out the Wells locator there to find a church nearby where you are. And there's also a little bit of notes about the other two churches in the Toledo area, Hosanna in Monclova, and Zion Lutheran Church over by Burn and Secor. God bless your day.